My first week when I started as pastor here at Meridian, Roger Werner gave me this post office hat. And it was because I had mentioned that whenever I had fantasies about a different job, I thought it might be fun to be a mailman. And I think Roger was trying to redirect me because he explained that instead of delivering the mail, I could deliver the good news on Sunday, is what he said. But it's been, to me, it represents something a little bit different. And it goes back to a dark time that I was having. Like pretty much everybody, I have my good days and my bad, my moments when I want to quit. But there was one particularly dark time several years ago. And I was helping out this person who was doing a survey for a master's thesis that they were writing. So they needed to speak with pastors. And the questions went along the lines of, do you enjoy being a pastor? I didn't have to think much about it. My answer was no. My next question, if you could do something else, another job with comparable pay, would you leave your ministry and go take that job? Yes. And the questions went something along those lines, and I realized I didn't even have to reflect. And the only thing that was really keeping me there was I hadn't figured out what my next move was. I just knew I didn't want to be where I was. So it started me on a little path of soul searching. And I talked to some people and prayed. And I did come to the conclusion that God had called me as a pastor. But I needed to change. And sometimes God speaks to me through books. And one of the books that I picked up at that time was called Building the Bridge as You Walk on It. Great title. But the thing that really God used to speak to me was there was a line that said, if you really want to grow, if you really want to lead your church well, what you need to do is you need to close the back door. And it just seemed like God was telling me, close the back door. What does that mean? That means I needed to stop just dreaming of an exit, fantasizing about leaving, wanting to be somewhere else. So for me now, this is a reminder to close the back door, not to try to want to be somewhere else, somewhere where I'm not, but to be where I am. Can you relate though? Close the back door. You ever want to escape? You ever want to be somewhere else, anywhere else? Maybe it's a new job and you're not even sure what you want to do. You just know you don't want to keep doing what you're doing. Somewhere else, anywhere else, where is it that you want to go? This is something that I think that a lot of us deal with. We just know if maybe I had a different family, if I lived somewhere else, I don't know where else, but somewhere else, life would be better. So we're doing this series again. It's called What God Has Joined Together. And we started by talking about Jesus' response to a question about divorce. Now they tried to trick him and Jesus didn't take the bait. But he went back to Genesis and explained, and he said, what therefore God has joined, let no man separate. And so the purpose of marriage, and the question wasn't whether or not people should get divorced, but the purpose of marriage from the very beginning was that God joined two people into a union that was supposed to be indivisible. Now, a lot of things can happen and change that, but the purpose, the intention, the hope is for a man and a woman to be united. Last week, we talked about the power of prayer to keep people together. And probably none of you who got that advice, if you don't pray together regularly, started. And Dr. Phil is going to come for you, just so you know. But it was about how prayer can. It's a factor that keeps people together. But really what we did is we looked at a guy named Naaman and how he had to muster up what we said is 20 seconds of insane courage and do what was awkward, what was uncomfortable, just to go do it. And we challenge each other to embrace something that has the potential for breakthrough for us, even if it's awkward. Maybe it's making a phone call. Maybe it's writing a letter. Maybe it's submitting a resume or an application. Maybe it's trying out or just driving there. But we encouraged each other to muster up that 20 seconds of insane courage and do that thing that's a little bit awkward that has the potential to break through. And so today we're asking the question of, we said that God joins people. God can join a husband and a wife. God can join a church. And Jesus prayed for the church and prayed for future believers, us. Let them be one as we are one, that God joins us together with certain people. But the question is, does God join people to places? Can God join people geographically? And we're going to look at a very famous story. It's in Genesis chapter 12, 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. When God spoke to Abram in this very important biblical passage, he sent him to a place. And it says a few chapters later, so Abraham went as the Lord had told him. God had a place in mind for Abram. Let's fast forward a few hundred years later, and another really well-known story in the Bible. This is at the burning bush with God and Moses, and this is what God says to Moses through the burning bush. Go and gather the leaders of Israel together and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, has appeared to me, saying, I have observed you and what has been done to you in Egypt, and I promise that I will bring you up out of affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. Moses was called to lead the people of Israel from a place to another place, the promised land. Geography matters. Where we are plays a big role in who we are. And God, in the Bible, called people to places. Now we're going to fast forward a few more hundred years. The people of Israel, after Moses led and then Joshua came over and they got into the promised land, they were there for quite a long time. But then, over time, they lost it. And one of the kingdoms went to Babylon. And this is a time when the people of God, the people of Israel, had been exiled. They'd been carried off into the land of Babylon. And God, just as he raised up Moses to speak to the people who were exiled in Egypt, he raised up a prophet. And this prophet was named Jeremiah. And this is another very well-known chapter in the Bible, Jeremiah 29. And we're going to look at Jeremiah's message to the exiles who were in Babylon. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. That's a little bit different than probably what they expect. But God's saying, hey, remember, I've sent them from one place, the promised land, where they expected to be. I sent them to Babylon. And at this point, I imagine that probably a lot of the people have been meditating on the book of Exodus and how God had delivered the people from Egypt to Israel, the promised land, and they were hoping that God would come through with another Moses. They were hoping that God would deliver them back to the land of Israel. But this is the advice that he gives them. Build houses and live in them. Again, that's in the location of Babylon. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. This was basically the opposite of Moses' message a few hundred years earlier when he came to the people who were exiled in Egypt and he said, it's time to go. Let's go. This is the opposite kind of call that Abraham had when he was called to go, to leave, to go to a land. Because what the call here is the call to stay. And I have to imagine that this was a complete shock for many of the people of Israel. They've been reading the stories. They knew the story of Abraham. They knew the story of Moses. And they expected God to come through. Because when God calls people, he calls people to go, right? God calls missionaries to go to foreign lands, right? God calls pastors to go somewhere else. Oh, we oftentimes hear this call, and it's usually a call to go. Go somewhere else. But here, God is sending his prophet, and the message is a call to stay. It's to stay where you are. It's, I have sent you into Babylon, and you need to settle there. You need to plant gardens, and the gardens will bear fruit. You need to invest where you are. And I don't know. This isn't a scripture, so this is just kind of me here. But I wonder if a lot of times, if more often when God is calling a person, God more often calls people to stay than to go. I mean, I don't have a Bible verse to support it, but I just wonder if more often, and people kind of struggle, what does God want me to do? I wonder if more often when God is speaking to a person, it's more of the type of call like he gave to the people who were exiled in Babylon, stay, invest where you are. It may not seem ideal to you. You may be confused why you're there, but I want you to stay and invest. But the people are so wicked. Just think of all the things that they could have said about Babylon, and why would God want them to stay? Now, God sometimes calls us to leave. Sometimes he calls us to stay. And God calls different people to different places at different times. I think some, and maybe somebody has that call right now, I don't know, but sometimes God does call people like Abraham and say, you need to go. But God definitely calls people like he did the people of Israel to stay in Babylon, and as I'm going to say it, to bloom where they were planted, because they were called to plant things. They were called to really invest in the welfare of the city. They were called to bloom where they were planted. A lot of times I think we do want to be somewhere else. We want to be anywhere else. And I imagine that the captives in Babylon really wanted that too. They wanted to be somewhere else. And one of the problems is that when we want to be somewhere else is that we are not fully present. We're hoping for something in the future that's imaginary and better. And then when we do that, we can really miss what God is doing in the right here, right now. I wonder if a lot of times some of the best moves that we make as people are the moves we don't make. The times when we think about leaving, but don't. The times when we think about going somewhere else, but we stick it out. Just as we celebrated Martha being here for 60 years, and Frank and Ruth being married for 67 years. I wonder if a lot of times the best moves that we make in following God is when we stay, and we decide to be fully invested, and we decide to bloom where we are planted, no matter what happens. Now, I'm getting ready to make a mistake here. I'm going to tell a story no pastor should ever tell. And that's because it's boring, okay? And nobody wants to hear people talk about their glory days in high school. In fact, I told my daughter, I was using this as a story. I'm going to tell this story and the sermon. And her eyes just completely glazed over. And it totally didn't land with her. So even though I've already taken one attempt with this story and failed, I'm going to do it anyway. So you can go to sleep now. But I'm thinking maybe one person can, maybe it'll make sense to one person. But I played basketball in high school. Yeah, I was the shortest guy on the team. That's pretty obvious, I know. But my junior year, I was really excited because junior year is the year that most people get to play varsity. And I was playing JV my first couple of years, and I couldn't wait to be a junior when the junior got to play varsity. So the season started, and the thing was my coach didn't know that I should be playing varsity. And I was a junior playing on the JV team, and you don't want to be a junior playing JV. And I'll tell you what, I was mad. And I did not want to be on the JV team. I just watched the guys playing varsity and thought about how I would do so much better, and I pouted. And you know how well I played in the JV games? I didn't play well at all, right? That'll show my coach, right? I'll show him. If he wants to see me play well, he's got to wait to promote me to the varsity team, right? The coach didn't get that either. Can you believe it? The coach didn't see me moping around and say, oh, Daniel's not playing very well. Let's promote him and see if he does better there. So finally, after a bunch of crummy games, you know what I decided? I'm on the JV team. I might as well play JV. And I got to be okay with that. And a funny thing happened. When I decided, okay, I'm a JV team, I can be embarrassed or I can just do my best and play basketball and have fun. Funny thing happened. Guess what that was? I started playing better. And it didn't take long before I was on the varsity team and playing point guard like I wanted to there. But first, I had to embrace where I was. I had to be fully in present. I didn't want to be a junior playing JV, but that was my only option, and I had to invest in that. So sorry, there's the boring story. But the point is, be fully invested. Bloom where you're planted. You may feel like you're on the JV team in your job or an assignment that you have or somewhere, but it doesn't matter. We're called not to be somewhere else, but we're called right now to be present. One thing that Brandon said this week that really caught me that I thought fit well, he said, you got to be where you are to get where you're going. That's good. That's another good one from Brandon. I want to say it again. You got to be where you are to get where you're going. And I thought that fit well with that JV story. I think he attributed that to Kim Chesler, so she's got a lot of good ones. But you got to be where you are to get where you're going. And there's so much truth in that. Right now, your future's not going to get better in the imaginary. It's some scenario that hasn't happened yet. You got to be where you are to get where you're going. Or as Bill Keane said, I like this quote, yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery. Today is a gift of God, which is why we call it the present. When we miss the present, we miss out on the gift. The present right now is a gift, and God is at work. We were singing this morning. I love that song, Holy Spirit. Let us become more aware of your presence. God is present. You know where we have to be to experience God? In the present. So we've been praying and asking God, be present here. But we have to be present too. If we want to experience the presence of God. How do we apply this? Let's look at 2 Corinthians 12:18. But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. This is, again, it's about looking at things theologically. It's about not seeing life as just coincidental or circumstance, but seeing that maybe God has placed you in a certain place. And we don't need to wait on some imaginary future for things to get better, but that God is right here in this moment, that God has placed us in a time. None of us decided when we were going to be born. We were just placed. God has placed us in a location, and he has placed us with other people. So the encouragement this morning is to see theologically that God has placed us, to believe that our interactions with people, they're not just coincidence, but God has a purpose, that God can use the time and the place and the people to speak to us. It's about being fully present, which is really difficult to do. It's about seeking to bloom where we are planted. Because when we're not wholehearted, we're not fully present. I started rereading this book a couple days ago called God is Closer Than You Think. And in the first chapter, there was a list of foundational truths that he encourages a person to read every day for 2 weeks. So I was on day 3 this morning when I was looking at it, and it didn't dawn on me till this morning, but this list is really works well with this message. Listen to this foundational truth. God is always present and active in my life, whether or not I see him. Can you believe that? Right now, not yesterday or 5 months ago or in the future, God is always present and active in my life, whether or not I see him. That will be true in 2 hours when the kids are fussy. That'll be true on Monday when something bad has happened. But God is always present and active in my life, whether or not I see him. Here's another one. Coming to recognize and experience God's presence is learned behavior. I can cultivate it. We can learn to look for God's presence instead of just waiting for hopefully something where we'll feel it. It says, my task is to meet God in this moment. Now, at church, we expect it, but it's going to be true tomorrow and 2 weeks from now. Our task is to meet God in this moment. It says in the next one, this last one I'm going to read, I'm always tempted to live outside this moment. When I do that, I lose my sense of God's presence. And when I read that, I was really glad that it's not just me. Because I've been so realizing how hard it is for me to be fully present. But it is difficult. But when we seek to be fully present, when we live wholeheartedly, when we see the moment as now, God can do some incredible things. I'm going to close with a picture. This is the picture that Scripture gives of a person who embraces where God has planted them. Jeremiah, we're in Jeremiah again, 17, 7 through 8. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out the roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green. It is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. When we are fully present, when we really accept where God has placed us, right here, right now, even when it gets hot, we don't have to be afraid. Even when we go through a dry season, we don't have to worry, because God is going to work in us to do something beautiful when we embrace His calling in the present. God will use us for something beautiful. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as Jesus said, you are the vine and we are the branches. Apart from you, we can do nothing. You have placed us in this time and this location, and we want to abide in you. Sometimes it feels like we've been exiled and we want to be somewhere else. Remind us that the present is a gift. May we seek the welfare of Indianapolis, where you have sent us, and we ask that you use us to do something beautiful. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.